And it is 5 o'clock straight up here in beautiful Moab as the sun leaves its last rays of sunlight on the LaSalle Mountains. This is Jeff, the guy next door, in here for this edition of This Week in Moab. This is our interview show where we invite people from the community up, or organizations, or to hear what they're up to, or whatever's interesting. And tonight I'm pleased to have a guest from up in the northern part of the state. Mr. Pete Ashdown is going to be here with me for 15 or 20 minutes, and he has the honor and distinction of running on the Democratic ticket for Senator against Senator Orrin Hatch coming up later. So we'll chat with Pete here in a couple minutes. He was in town today and spoke. Pete, who'd you speak to today?
I spoke to the Rotary, and I spoke to a group of people in their house.
Okay, very good. That's good enough. I like that. And now we got you on the radio up here. So anyway, if you want to call in and ask Pete a question, again, I'm only going to have him for 15 or 20 minutes. The number is 259-KZMU. That's 5968, and we'll be glad to take your phone call. And I want to thank the underwriters for This Week in Moab, which is Moab Springs Ranch, and we thank them for their support. I'm going to forego the calendar and announcements, and we'll get onto that later on in the show. I also have an interview with Julie Van Domlin, former Moabite, that I recorded a few weeks ago when she was in town, and talking about her time at the World Bank and her work in Africa. So that's coming up after Pete and I chat here. So I'll get the announcements in when I can, and right now I'd like to make the most of the time that we have with Pete. Pete, welcome to KZMU.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Great. What a surprise. As I was telling you, I wasn't aware that, Orrin had anybody out there that was willing to run against him. And why don't you take a minute and give us a little bit of your bio and your background and what you do and anything else you'd like to share with listeners about yourself.
Okay, Jeff. I am a native Utahn. I was born and raised in Bountiful, Utah. And in 1993, I left the University of Utah to start a business called X-Mission. Now, X-Mission is and was the first internet service provider in Utah. I have done that for over the past decade and still continue to have a hand in it, but I have left full-time to pursue this race. You know, what you said is that you weren't aware that anyone was running against Hatch, and that's what I'm doing right now, is getting out and talking to people and making sure that they are aware that there is an alternative to Senator Hatch.
Terrific, terrific. And I have heard of X-Mission, and I know you've, that's been successful for you, so that's afforded you, I guess, some opportunity of time to do this. So this is your first foray into politics?
As far as a candidate, yes. I have helped past candidates. I did work a little bit on Paul Van Dam's race for Senate, and I've also, in conjunction with my business, done a lot of lobbying up on Capitol Hill, trying to inform them about technology and the Internet.
Okay, so the obvious question, what was the motivation to throw your hat into the ring, as they say?
Well, I love my country, you know, and I want this country to succeed and be a great place for my kids. I feel like they're growing up in an America that's vastly different from the America I grew up in. Second, I had some policy disagreements with Senator Hatch, and especially on the subject of technology and the Internet, and I was looking around for somebody else to do the job, trying to find out who was interested in running in 2006. And as I spoke to people in the Democratic Party, it became patently clear that nobody was planning on doing it. And I felt if anyone was going to do it, they'd need to get in there early, they'd need to get out over Utah, they'd need to get their message out, and they'd need to work hard at it full time. And so I had to come to the decision that I was going to do it. That I talked to my family, I talked to my employees, I tried to make sure everyone was cool with it, and did some soul searching and decided this is an avenue I want to pursue.
Does it make you nervous?
Yeah, it's I have to say I'm an introvert at heart, and trying to turn into an extrovert is a challenge for me. But I'm latching onto it. I love it. I've been doing this since March of last year. I've seen a lot of Utah already, and I just love sitting down and talking to people. You know, I want to get out there and listen instead of lecture to people.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your platform, some issues you feel strongly about. Why don't you share those with the audience and inform us on how you view those issues.
Well, first, as you can probably guess, I have a big technology motive. I want to see the Congress take advantage of the technology that's available to us today to build a better bridge between the people and their elected representatives. Right now, I feel like the Congress is more of a one-way street, that they lecture to us, they tell us what we need, and often they get it wrong, and often they don't listen to what we really do need. We have more interaction today with sellers on eBay than we have with our elected officials, and I think that's pathetic. We have the opportunity through technology to make a better democracy, a better representative democracy, where people can participate in an open, collaborative fashion. And I've tried to take that and put that into play in my campaign. I've taken software from, you've probably heard of the site, the Wikipedia, and taken their exact software and put it on my website and built a wiki of platform policy where I'm welcoming people to come in and collaborate, criticize, build upon, and give me the best information, because I think it's very arrogant for anyone running for office or anyone in office to make the presumption that they know everything about everything. I am pretty good at technology and the internet, but there are a number of other fields that I really have no idea on. So I'm depending on people who do have an idea on those things to come in and try and come up with the best policy.
Okay, so if we were to frame that issue, as you said, it's allowing yourself to be more in contact with your constituents, obviously you can't do that face-to-face, it'd be impossible.
Yeah.
But
building a participatory democracy, essentially. I've been traveling around the state, but if I'm in Washington, I won't be able to have a direct interaction without the internet with people here in Moab. Mm-hmm. So I think that right now Washington views the internet as another avenue to ignore. You know, we can email them, we can send them postal mail, we can send them, call them on the phone, and yet it's a petitioning. It's not really them taking into account what we feel. We have to be sitting in their office or sending them a campaign check or being part of a lobbying organization for them to really take notice. And I'm not saying that those people should be dismissed, but I'm saying our voice, the voice of the people, should be equal to that, and there's a way to do that. So open collaboration with the government, and also transparency. You know, what we're seeing in Washington right now is a lot of scandal, a lot of corruption that happens under the cover of night. Transparency is a way we can get around that, a way we can make things work better, make sure that we know things are working the way they should. And I think that there's a lot of hesitancy towards that openness in Washington right now, and that needs to be changed for the betterment of the people.
Terrific. I think that's refreshing to hear. My guest is Mr. Pete Ashdown, and running on the Democratic ticket against Senator Orrin Hatch for the elections coming up in the fall, in November. Mm-hmm. And he's been in Moab today speaking to some groups, and we've got him here on the radio. If you want to ask him a question, 259-KZMU, 5968. I've only got him here for about another 12 minutes. And it is refreshing to hear that. It sounds, we know that the politicians are so insulated, and that it's hard to get to them unless you are a lobbyist or whatever, have, you know, or are going to some interest of theirs. But it's funny. I was talking to a friend the other day. I said, you know, for years you could mix with people, and I play a lot of golf, and you could have a conversation about some political issue. People don't even want to talk about politics
now. They shy away from it. There's a lot of apathy and there's a lot of cynicism towards politics. And I think that sources from that powerlessness.
Now, let's talk about, how realism of running against Senator Orrin Hatch, who's a political icon in the state of Utah. Mm-hmm. What other strategies do you have? And now, this is the first one you said was very good there. Now, is there certain issues that you think you can play upon that would distinguish you from Senator Hatch?
Well, I think not only Senator Hatch, but Congress as a whole has failed us as far as energy policy goes. You look back over last year at the energy bill that came out, and it was a lot of we need to go find more oil and not a lot of alternative renewables, which the rest of the world is looking at. We're talking about China, India, Europe, all looking to solar, looking towards wind, looking towards fusion as possibilities for their energy futures. So I think that there is a lot of ground to be gained there, because Senator Hatch has shown a complete lack of imagination as far as what we should do for the next 50 years in this country with our energy policy. And for me, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see what the rest of the world is doing. And I think they're really going to pass us by if we don't catch up to it.
And why do you think that so many of the, like you say, it's not just Senator Hatch's lot out there that have supported this dinosaur approach to our energy, which dinosaurs is oil. is this just the influence of lobbyists and the ties to corporate America where they're going to support those industries?
I'm afraid so, yeah. And that's what's dismaying to me. On a technology basis, I felt like my voice was not being listened to, mm-hmm. and that's why I felt charged to do this, because I feel like technology is not only the foundation of what we're doing, everything we're doing in this country, but it's a big part of Utah's economy. So that's why I felt it was important to get out on that floor. But then it evolved into this idea of how do we make everyone's voice heard? How do we make everyone able to give their expertise to the subject? And you talked about being out golfing and not wanting to talk about politics with people. I think that's very apparent in today's world, where you're afraid to declare you're a Democrat, or you're afraid to declare you're a Republican, and most people consider themselves independent. I think it takes everybody's opinion. I don't think it takes one party's opinion, one ideology, to come up with the best solution. I think it takes everybody working together to build the best solution. And when you find the best solution, the neat thing about that is it's not partisan. It's just a good solution.
So you look at the state of Utah and the country as a whole, I'm sure, too, and say, okay, what are the problems and how can we all solve them? You talked about the access from the constituents, the transparency, and your feelings on a more progressive energy policy, which, as you said, is being pursued by other countries around the world. Mm-hmm. So what other problem areas do you see that need our attention so that we can...
Well, before we run out of time, I absolutely want to pitch the website. Go to peteashdown.org. My last name, again, is spelled A-S-H-D-O-W-N. There's a section on the website called Collaborate. And that's where I put that software, where you can go in, and there's literally about 24 policy items right now that are draft policy, where I've put forth an idea, and I want people to come in and critique it or compliment it or do whatever they think about it and put facts in the discussion area about what we should do. So if you're looking for a broader spectrum of positions that I have, please go to the website and check that out. I think healthcare is another major issue in this country. It's becoming an economic issue. With my own business, I've spent probably over $1 million in the past decade insuring 20-somethings and 30-somethings, and nowhere have I seen that kind of benefit coming back. For companies like GM, you know, moving plants across the river into Ontario, Canada, for one reason: healthcare. I think there's a better way we can handle healthcare, and I think it's something that not only the left side of the spectrum is waking up to, but conservatives are realizing, because it is an economic issue. If you look at the private cost of health care we pay in this country, if you look at it as a tax, like the rest of the world considers health care, we are the most taxed people on this earth. And I think that's something that a lot of people are waking up to.
So you're for universal, sort of health care?
I would like to see a universal health insurance system. Mm-hmm. But I think that's kind of like saying I would like to see a hydrogen economy. I think that's a distance away, and we need to take steps towards getting towards that. But right now we're not taking any steps towards either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You sound good so far. We got Thank connection you, to the constituency. We have a progressive energy policy. I've been working towards a better healthcare system for all. Yeah, you know, and I know there's countries around the world that do have, you know, I know it does come from the taxes, but, you know, you can get that healthcare. And it is really sad to think of the big percentage of Americans who, they just stay sick or they stay hurt because they can't get the, you know, they don't have access to it.
Yeah, and I think most importantly, realize that there are economic benefits towards doing this. A lot of people say, well, we don't want the government involved in this or that. Well, for example, the government building roads, there was an economic benefit that came from having good transportation around this country. Now, I have arguments about how well that transportation is serving us now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's arguments to be made towards better infrastructure, not only with roads, but broadband internet and healthcare. that will pay off in the economic long run.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other big issue that you'd like to throw out there?
I think education is on every politician's mind. I mean, every politician comes in here and says education is my number one issue, and I think it is. It has been. There's a lot of politicians dedicated towards that in Utah. What I think is lacking is the federal response towards education. What we have, especially with No Child Left Behind, is kind of a micromanaging approach. What the federal government does best is disperse funds where they are needed and let the locals figure out what to do with them. And I think that's what should be done with education, and we need a lot more attention towards the financial part of education from the federal government right now.
And Utah is like what? Probably the lowest funded state in terms of education, or close to it.
Lowest per capita. So
right, per capita.
Yeah, we are pretty low on the list. It is one of the largest budget items in the state mm-hmm. budget, though. And that's where I think we need some federal help in mm-hmm. there. And we need federal help not saying, this is how you should test your children. We need federal help saying, here, take this money, and you guys figure out how to use it best.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and again, that website is?
PeteAshdown.org.
Okay, and Mr. Ashdown is running for Senate against Orrin Hatch, and is getting his name and his message out across the state. A bold undertaking on your part. What there's a lot of criticism about the. Let's talk about the Democratic Party, since that's the one you're in. You know, the Republicans seem to be falling all over themselves with all these things. I mean, we don't even need to go into that.
Right.
But there's a lot of criticism about the Democratic Party not coming up with other ideas or leadership or taking advantage of the situation. And just that, I mean, how do you see the Democratic Party that, you know, that you're involved with?
I share some of that criticism. I think it's not a matter, though, of us taking advantage of a situation. It's a matter of us projecting a better future. It's a matter of us coming up with better ideas. And that's what I've tried to do in this campaign, is I have gone after Hatch's positions on torture, positions on protecting the oil companies, but I don't think that's going to win the campaign. I think what is going to win the what wins campaigns is either fear or it's hope, and I'm trying to win it with hope rather than fear.
So you're going to stay away from the mudslinging.
I'm going to absolutely try. Yeah.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, because I think this. Do you plan to have any debates?
Would love to debate Senator Hatch, and we'll have to see what happens with that. It's really up to him whether he wants to do it or not.
So you've put that out there
to him. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what is your sense? Do you think he's going to do it or not? Or you know, I know what the politicians will say. If the guy's the incumbent, you know, he's been there for a long time, he doesn't need to put himself in a position where he can be exposed.
Right. You're right.
And
to continually call him on that and say, this is part of democracy. This is part of building a better country, not whether it's going to expose you to anything or not, but whether it's going to get the best ideas out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that, and if it's a true debate, too, I mean, these presidential debates are just a joke.
So, you know, rigid, yeah.
No, they don't answer the questions, and it's just them selling their own issues again to the public. But if you had a good debate, it'd be great.
I'm right there with you, Jeff. Yeah. I'd love to see that. You know, get back to the Lincoln-Douglas style of mm-hmm. debate, where you have to get up there and make your point and defend it.
Right, exactly. And I'll say this right now, that KZMU will be glad to have you and Senator Hatch down here for a debate.
I'd be happy to be here, one way or another.
So where does your itinerary take you next?
I'm actually doing a Rotary in Park City soon. I've done a number of Rotaries around the state. I'm a Rotary member in Salt Lake, so I'm using every bit of networking potential I have to get out there. We're doing a little bit of fundraising in Salt Lake this quarter as well. This is an ongoing process. This is essentially an open town hall that I have on my website. So if you can't come to one of these meetings, you can't see me in person, please, please go to the internet and participate there.
Okay, and again, that's PeteAshdown.org.
ORG,
right. Anything else you'd like to share with the Moab listeners before you head out of town?
You have a beautiful city. It's nice coming down here out of the cold, and boy, I'm just watching the sun go down, and it's amazing down here.
It is. That's we all live here because we want to be here and surrounded by that beauty. So, yeah. In fact, let me just ask you about that. Where are you at on the environmental spectrum of issues?
I think there is, again, this great disconnect between Washington and the local people. I think there should be a more of a dialogue, both from people trying to get land leases and people trying to protect the environment with the people that have to live with those decisions. I don't know if it's right to shut off all land leases, but I think there should absolutely be a balance between the two. Some people depend on those leases for their livelihood, and they should see that benefit. I've seen parts of Utah where those land leases happen, and again, nobody has any accounting of what's going on. Jobs are coming in, and it's roughnecks from out of state doing the work instead of locals. They should have more power over that situation when it does happen. But I also believe in preserving our wilderness for our children.
Very good, very good. Okay, so folks, you can go to his website and see more of these issues that he has outlined on there and give him some input. He's welcoming that. And as we were talking earlier, I think with the dissatisfaction with Congress, it's a great time for someone like yourself who's fresh, doesn't carry any baggage or, cronyism or corporate ties or whatever, to take advantage of this climate and get some fresh faces and get back to what true representative democracy is about.
I agree, Jeff.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming up, Pete.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And that, again, was Pete Ashdown. You'll hear more from him, I'm sure, over the course of the next 9, 10 months, 11 months or so forth. And he is running against Orrin Hatch for the one of Utah's two Senate seats. And that was terrific. It's and I hope if you get down this area again, you call us, Pete, and we'll get you back
on. Of course.
We'll get you on a little bit longer next time.
Sounds good.
Okay.